Hi, everyone. This is Jan Kabili with another episode of The Fix, the podcast that's all about Lightroom, Photoshop, and post-capture processing. Tonight, we're going to do something really fun. I have my guest co-host, Sean Duggan, here with me. Say hi, Sean.
Hey, Jan. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And tonight, Sean and I are going to show you our favorite iPhone photo-related apps. Now, there are so many to choose from that we've really had to just cut through all the... Is it the wheat or the chaff you cut through, Sean? I don't remember.
I think the saying is cut through the chaff or something or other. Don't quote me on that.
Well, we did a ton of chaff cutting, and each of us is going to show you a couple of iPhone apps that we rely on all the time. And I just also want to mention that I'm very excited to have Sean Duggan here as my guest co-host. You're going to be seeing a lot more of him in the weeks to come here on The Fix. Okay, Sean, how would you like to be the one to get started?
Well, I'm going to show a pretty simple app that I use a lot for compositing, which I do a lot of on both my iPhone and my iPad. And this is an app that you can either use for compositing or just to group two different photos together. And it's called Diptych. So I will share my screen here.
Oh, that's cool. I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool app. All right. So... actually, first, before we do that, I want to show a hot tip here for organizing your apps together. So on my front screen here, I've got two apps down here, Image Blender and Juxtaposer, which are two apps that I use for compositing. And it would be a lot more efficient if I just group those together into a single grouping. And you can see I've got some other groupings up here for photography, time and sky, et cetera, social media. So to do that on the iPhone, you just press and hold on an app until they all start jiggling. And then you just drag one app on top of another app and it will create a new group.
You know, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how many people don't know that. And it's so important.
It is. It makes things much more useful. So I'm going to change the name here. And so I'll just put in, you know, compositing. Make sure I spell it right. There we go. And then to stop them from jiggling, you just press and hold on the home button, and then they'll stop. Obviously, you have to be careful once they are in that jiggle mode, because if you tap the X button on the app, you will delete it from your phone. But of course, you can always just re-download it because the App Store remembers your purchases.
That's true. That's my favorite thing about the App Store.
All right, so let me go on to Diptych here. Again, I have this in another group. And I'll go to Diptych. This app is about 99 cents, pretty useful. And let me just go to the start screen. You can choose from a variety of different layouts. These are my recent ones. I'm not going to go into any of these, but suffice to say that there are lots of different ways that you can combine photos in, you know, different ways. So these are all these wild shapes. My daughter kind of likes some of these. If you just want to have like a grid of photos or arrange several photos together without actually making a composite, this is a wonderful way to do that. I'm just going to go into the classic mode and I'm going to choose this one right here. Now it's coming through with the image that I last played with, which was a picture I took obviously out of an airplane window.
Wait, and I have to stop a minute. How did you get the blades? Is that a propeller plane? What is that?
Yeah, it's a prop plane. And why are they all warped like that? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, I mean, like, how can you see individual blades like that?
Well, this is an effect that you'll see with iPhones. You won't get this with a regular camera, but with iPhones, there's an effect called rolling shutter, where the to get the sort of constant video feed you get when you're composing a picture, you know, so you can see the scene on the screen or your iPhone. It actually is this sort of constant video feed, and there's like a shutter effect. And when you have something moving really fast, like an airplane propeller, you can get these sort of really weird looking effects from it. And actually, when you see it live, it looks totally bizarre as well.
Oh, so that's great. That's cool.
Yeah. So if without going into detail, just look up rolling shutter effect on, you know, Wikipedia or the web, and you'll find, you know, voluminous scientific explanations for it. All right, so I'm going to bring in a new photo here. I'm going to just tap on one of the panels, and then I can go out to my albums here. And I'm going to come down to an album that I have prepared. And this is a picture that I took at Anderson Ranch in Colorado. I was there teaching earlier in the summer. And what I'm going to do is instead of having two pictures side by side, which is sort of the classic way you would approach a diptych, I'm going to make a mirror, an image mirror. And then later on, we'll use this in another composite in another app. So I have the one picture on the left side. I'm just going to tap again to go in. I'm going to choose the exact same picture for the right side. And now what I want to do is flip the one on the left because I want it to be looking like it's a reflected version. So I tap on that to make it active. And then down here in the bottom, I can choose flip. And I'm just going to use the first flip button on the left to flip that. And now I can adjust those. And now the thing that's getting in the way now is that I don't want this border in the way. So I'm going to go down to borders in the bottom and I'll tap that. And I'm just going to actually turn border off. So I'm going to take this slider here, which lets me control the size of the border, and just slide it to where there's no border at all. And now I can come in and play around with really adjusting the alignment of the two pictures to get them so they get this nice reflected or mirrored effect.
Oh, that is so cool. I love that.
Yeah, and you know, I think the human brain is really hardwired to love symmetry. And that's why we respond to pictures like this. They're just pretty. The symmetrical look is really nice. It's kind of magical and mysterious. And what I like, you know, sometimes I'll make an image mirror like this. I call these image mirrors. I'll make an image mirror and, you know, that's it. I'm done. Or maybe I'll convert it to black and white to make it look a little bit more mysterious or whatever. But a lot of times I'll use these initial image mirrors as kind of the base of another composite. So later on, showing another app, I will take this picture here and we'll go into another app and do something a little bit different with it.
You know, you make a good point, Sean, which is that I think some people don't think about using more than one app in the process of making one image. And there's no reason not to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I use multiple apps because the frustrating thing about apps is that there's really no one app that does everything, depending on what you want to do. There's a lot of apps that handle a lot of different things very well. And certainly there are kind of real bread and butter apps that I use all the time. But for certain specialized things, you have to kind of go to different apps because they tend to do, you know, whatever that thing is exceptionally well. So just one last thought before we leave Diptych, and I'll pass it over to you, and you can talk about an app that you like, is that if you're interested in creating image mirrors, things that work really well to create a reflected image or an image mirror such as this are nature scenes, as you can see here with this. Architectural subjects work really well. A lot of times if you have patterns on rock, such as lichen or moss growing on rock, or just, you know, a rocky cliff or whatever, you'll see that in the seam where the images join together, you can actually see these like strange little faces appear just due to the duplication and the image mirroring effect. So it's quite fun.
Now, you said you were going to take the same image into another app. Are you going to do that later for us or now?
Well, what I'll do is I'll tap the publish button up in the upper right corner of the phone interface here, and I will publish this out, which means I'll just save it to my camera roll. One nice thing about this is that I like that it gives me a choice of how large to save it. So it's able to access the full resolution of both pictures and create a much bigger image than I would able to get normally. So I'll choose that large size, and it has these fun little messages like applying wax coating, etc. And I'll just choose save. Now that's saved out to my camera roll, so I can open it up in another app later when I talk about a different app.
Oh, cool. All right. So everybody has to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you want to unshare your screen and I will share mine, I'll show you something I think is fun. So here you can see a screen of my phone, and you can see on the first page I have all my regular apps, and then on the second page I have all my camera-related apps. I've got my camera, I've got Pro HDR that I use to shoot in high contrast situations. I have Photos, which contains my camera roll, Instagram, Google Photos, Snapseed, and Lightroom Mobile. And those are the apps that I use all the time, pretty much every day. And then I have lots of other apps that I've collected too. So I'll just give you a quick look at those. I keep those in groups. And that first group I call Photo Capture. And here I have some apps that you can use during the capture process. I really like Hipstamatic for making that old-timey look. And I use the Lumix Remote app with my Lumix GH4 camera to control the camera from the phone. I also have a light meter app and a bunch of other photo capture apps. Then I have a category of apps that I call Photo Post, and these are lots of different apps to use to post-process photos. I have everything here from Photoshop Mix, which we saw in another episode of The Fix. I think it was episode 19 with Eric Reno. It's a great new Adobe photo app for the iPhone and Android. And then we have Best Camera. And if I go to the next screen of my Photo Post apps, you can see I have lots more. Words is a great one for adding text to photos, by the way. And here's some more as well. And finally, I have a category I call iPhoneography. Now, these are apps that you often see people using, people who like to use, who like to make fine art with their photos. And there are all kinds of apps here. For example, Mextures is an app that you can use to add texture to your photos. There's Image Blender and Stackables that you can use to make composites here on your iPhone. Retouch comes in really handy for retouching parts of a photo, removing content, for example. I love Photocopier because it gives you some styles that you can start your editing process with that are based on other photographers and other artists' work. And then I often use the Black app at the bottom there when I'm converting a color photo to black and white. And if I go to the next screen of iPhoneography apps, you can see that there are a lot more. Unfold Space is really fun, and so is Squirt and iColorama. And there's more. So I haven't really used all of these apps, I have to tell you. I tend to collect them. And the way that I find out about them is I spend time on Facebook in many of the groups that I've found there that are interested in iPhoneography. And there you can see people talking about apps as well as uploading examples of photos they've made with apps. One example of one of those Facebook groups that I really like is called Dog Sitters App Circus. It's a funny name, but it's really a great group, and it's a lot of really engaged people posting a lot of photos and sharing a lot of information about iPhone photo-related apps. So now I want to show you a little technique in the new version of Snapseed. Snapseed, of course, is Google's app. It's very popular. Lots of folks use it. And you may not know that Snapseed was updated recently and has some great new features. I'm going to open Snapseed. The feature that I want to concentrate on tonight is one that allows you to paint in any of the filters or tool adjustments that you can make in Snapseed. So it's a real flexible local adjustment feature, and it's done with something called Stacks. Let me show you what that's about. First, I'm going to add some individual adjustments to this entire photo, and then I'm going to paint in one of those adjustments to just part of the photo. So I'm going to start by tapping the little tool app at the bottom right, and that opens up the area where I can access tools and filters here in Snapseed. I usually start with the Tune Image category of tools. So I'll tap there, and then when I swipe up, I can see the different Tune Image adjustments. So I'm just going to go to the Ambience adjustment and drag that to the right to increase the ambience. And maybe I'll go back in there and choose Contrast and drag to the right to increase the contrast. And then I'm going to tap the little check mark at the bottom right to accept those changes. And I'll tap the tool icon again. And this time, let's do something different. I'm going to go down to the filters. And I'm going to choose a filter that will be really easy for you to see, the black and white filter. That converts everything to black and white right on top of my adjustments that I made a moment ago. And I'm going to choose a style of black and white by tapping the icon just to the right of brightness. I'll go with the contrast style, which is a high contrast black and white look. And now I'm going to tap the check mark to add those changes to the photo. And let's do one more kind of adjustment. I'll tap the tool icon at the bottom right. Let's add a vignette. I'll tap vignette. And down at the bottom, I can choose to leave it on outer brightness and then drag to the right to change the, or drag to the left rather, to darken the outer part of the vignette. And then if I drag up, I can choose inner brightness and I'll drag to the right to brighten the inside of the vignette. And then I'll tap the check mark. Now, there's nothing really special about those particular adjustments. You could use any of the adjustments or filters to do what I'm going to show you now, which is the heart of this little technique that I'm showing. Take a look up at the top right, and you'll see the number 3. That means that I've applied 3 kinds of adjustments to this photo so far, and I can access any of those 3 adjustments by tapping the number 3 there. And that brings up a stack that is basically showing me the history of all the things that I've done to this photo, from top to bottom, from original through my toon image adjustments, that black and white adjustment, and then the vignette. And what's really great is I can go back in time here and access any of these and modify them. And I can use the special feature I'm about to show you to paint any of these into just part of the photo. So for example, let's say that I want to have the black and white effect that I'd added only on just the background, not on the car. I'll tap the black and white item in this stack, and then I'll tap the arrow just on the left of the black and white item. And that brings this flyout menu into view. On the flyout menu, if I were to tap the trash icon, that would delete the black and white effect altogether, and the photo would be color once again. But my other adjustments wouldn't be affected. And that's what's so great about this stack of history states. If I tap the little control slider icon on the right, that will take me back into the black and white filter that I'd applied, and I could change that filter, maybe choose a different style of black and white. I'm going to tap the center icon in this flyout menu that looks like a little brush symbol. And now we don't see the black and white adjustment, but down at the bottom we have controls for this black and white adjustment. And you can see that black and white is now set to 100%. And if I come in with my finger and I just start dragging over the background, you can see that the background is being converted to black and white using that black and white filter that I'd chosen a while ago and that I had applied to the entire image. But now by painting, I'm just applying it to part of the image. And if I want to, I can invert that effect so that the car is black and white and not the background by tapping the second icon from the left at the bottom of the screen. It looks like a corner with a circle in it. So now the car is black and white and not the background. And then let's say that I want to make sure that those red taillights on the car are not converted to black and white. I see the black and white is kind of seeping into those. I can then paint with negative black and white. So now if you see black and white is set to 0 down there, and if I paint over here, that brings back the color in that area. And that area. Now, I'm not being very careful, but I do want to show you that what's controlling all of this is a mask. And if I tap the eye icon at the bottom right, you can see my mask right there. And I can sometimes, I'll paint with the mask showing if I want to just fine tune a little bit, just fill in an edge here or over here. I'll tap the eye icon again so that we can see the photo without the mask. And that's basically how this great new tool works. And if I want, I can come back in and paint with more black and white. So I can constantly be readjusting this, and I can come back in here at any time by just tapping the item in the stack. So I'm going to tap the check mark to accept my changes, and then I'm going to tap close. I'm going to tap the tool icon once more because I want to show you that in the tools, there is another item called brush, and don't confuse that with the stacking brush that I just showed you. If I were to tap the brush tool itself, I would have the opportunity to brush into this image certain kinds of adjustments, but not as many as I can brush in with that stack brush. For example, with this brush tool, I can tap the icon at the bottom left, and I see that I can either dodge or burn parts of the image. I can adjust exposure of parts of the image, temperature, and saturation. But remember, with that stack brush, I can paint in any number of filters and tools, more than I get with just this single brush tool. So I'm going to close this. And now all that would be left to do would be to save my adjusted photo. And you can choose to save a copy so you're not messing up your original too. So that's just one of the great new features in Snapseed 2. We're using an app called Reflector in order to show you our the screens of our iPhones right here on our Mac desktops. And that's a great feature for those of us who like to demo our iPhone and our iPad on the desktop.
So before we get into the next step, I just wanted to show two images that I actually already have in here that I've done image mirrors with. So this is coming back from Colorado earlier in the summer. This is just farming fields outside of Sacramento, California. And I was just intrigued by the shape of the canal there or the river along the edge of the fields. And all it is a simple mirror. And I made it black and white and added a little bit of a tilt shift blur. And it's a nice, interesting abstract.
It really is. You are an expert at doing these mirrored images, I have to say.
You know, I kind of think of them as a guilty pleasure because they're so easy to do and they're, you know, usually very satisfying. So, you know, again, a guilty pleasure. This one is kind of strange. This is this sort of alkali, you know, dried alkali salt flat somewhere over Utah, I think. And it just sort of created this really strange, almost Rorschach, ink blot pattern, you know, to it. All right. So next, so here's where we are now. This is the picture of the river that I started with. And here is the mirror that I made earlier in the broadcast. I'm going to now go to another app and I'll go into my compositing group that I made earlier. And I'm going to go into Image Blender. And Image Blender is great for making simple composites. It relies a lot on using blending modes to make simple composites, or you can also do some pretty simple masking with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tap the square down in the lower left. That's kind of my background image. And I'm going to go and grab an image and I'll go out to my library and go down to that album that I had prepared. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the picture of the mirrored version of that scene that I created in Diptych earlier. And next I'm going to go tap the little square on the lower right to go get another picture. So with this app, you can only work with two pictures at a time. And this time I'm going to get this door. Now, initially what happens in Image Blender is that the top layer, the top image, comes in at 50% opacity. And that's what we have here. We just have an opacity slider. So you can see I just have this picture of the door. I'm going to leave that actually at 100%. You can change the size of the top layer by tapping that kind of move tool. If you're familiar with Photoshop tools, let's go with the Photoshop move tool. And then you can use your fingers to sort of pinch and swipe to get it larger. You can rotate it if you want. And it sort of comes in at a low opacity, so you can sort of position it. And I want mine to be kind of smaller because I want to place it there in the distance so it looks like the stream is sort of disappearing into this door. So something like that looks good. I'll tap save up in the upper right. And I'm almost there, but now what I want to do is see how much I can get by with in terms of blending these images together using a blending mode. So the blending modes are found up in this central icon up at the top. It looks kind of like two squares overlapped. And if you're familiar with blending modes in Photoshop, you will recognize a lot of these blending modes, and they behave the exact same way as they do in Photoshop. And you get a nice little thumbnail preview of what the blending mode is going to do to it, which is very useful. And so, you know, this was, I think, one of the first apps that I discovered blending modes in. And the minute I saw those blending modes names down there, I just, you know, I knew exactly what they did and I knew how I could use them. So I'm going to choose the multiply blend mode because the multiply blend mode is going to emphasize the darker areas and de-emphasize the lighter areas. So that's causing most of that wall around the door to disappear. And I'm going to tap the blend mode button up above to exit out of here. And that's good for now, except there's a few little things I want to change with this. So now I'm going to go into the masking features, which is this little pencil tool. Now, I'm not going to go into the masking features in great detail here. I'm just going to do a simple one with a paintbrush. But if you're interested in making photo composites on smartphones or tablet devices, I do have a course at lynda.com on that very subject. It's called Creating Photo Composites on Smartphones and Tablets. And I go into this app and Diptyk and several other apps creating progressively more intricate and complex composites. So if you're interested in that, check it out. We'll put a link in the show notes, or you can just go to my website, seanduncan.com, and you'll find a link there as well. So down at the bottom, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tap this little, next to the pencil, there's like this little icon here, which allows me to choose the type of brush. And I can choose a hard edge brush, a soft edge brush, or a radial or linear gradient. So I'm just going to use the soft edge brush, which is what we have here. I'm going to tap the little gear icon, which allows me to choose the size of the brush. And one cool thing that I love about Image Blender is this offset feature up here, because that allows me to create an offset from where I paint with my finger to where the actual effect occurs. Because the problem with doing, you know, brush work on an iPhone screen or, you know, an Android phone screen, whatever, is that your finger is over the area where you're painting. So that's like hard to see sometimes. So what this does is, where you see the kind of fainter circle in the middle, that would be where my finger would be moving, but the actual effect is going to appear over on the side, or wherever I happen to have the offset configured. So I'm going to leave it off to the side like that and just choose done. And you'll see now what's going to happen is that I'm going to start painting here. And my finger is actually right over the middle of the door, but you can see where the effect is taking place.
Oh, so that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah, what a great idea.
I know. I wish more apps would do this. It really is brilliant. Juxtaposer has something similar. So now I have to tap the gear icon again and just switch the offset so I can go over and do the other side. And when you are working with the brush, it kind of deactivates the blend mode temporarily. So I'm going to just sort of do this really quick and dirty just so you get the idea. I'll just tap save. And now you can see how that is blending in a little bit better. I can lower the opacity if I want a little bit more of the forest to show through. But that, in essence, is Image Blender. It's a very simple app. There's not a lot of bells and whistles. Of course, you can't do really intricate masking, but you really shouldn't be expecting to do intricate masking on your phone. It's good for simple masking, and sometimes that is good enough. I'm just going to move this up here a little bit.
You know, it seems to me that a large part of this has to do with which images you choose to put together. And one thing I see people doing all the time is taking two very busy images and trying to superimpose them. And then it's just too much for the human brain to take in, right?
Yeah. It is good to sort of, have a little bit of a pre-visualized idea about how images might work together. And, you know, the more you do this, the more you'll get accustomed to almost training your eye and your mind to see that way. And in fact, I have another compositing course that published recently at lynda.com called Shooting for Compositing in Photoshop. And it actually goes into that whole sort of mindset of looking at images and kind of recognizing which ones might work well together in a composite.
That one's definitely on my list.
All right, I'm going to save this to the camera roll, and maybe we'll do something with this later. One other thing here. After you save it, it asks you, do you want to start over again on a clean project? I typically choose no, because if I get this version of the picture into another app and start working with it, and I find, I didn't have that door placed right, or my mask is a little funky here, I can come back to Image Blender as long as the app is still open, and I can still make my corrections to the image and then resave it and start again. So I always choose no initially unless I'm sure that I'm done with the picture.
So I have another little trick for you. Want to see it?
Indeed I do. I'm all about tricks.
You may know this. There's not too much of a trick to this. It's more showing you an app that I use all the time. I'd like to show you one of the applications that I use to capture photos, and I often use Pro HDR when I'm in a situation where there's just really high contrast. For example, a bright day outside where there's a lot of sun, and then there are some darker areas, and I want to have detail in both the bright and dark areas. So I'll tap Pro HDR, Then I'm going to hold this up to a scene that I want to photograph. Now, I'm not outside, so I have to be satisfied with just photographing a photograph of the outside. So, you know, things usually look better than they're going to look here. We're just simulating. But all I have to do to get a Pro HDR to take a couple different exposures of this scene is to tap the screen. And it goes ahead and analyzes the scene, and then you're going to see it's going to say taking photo one and taking photo two. Now, the real trick, really the only trick, is staying still while HDR Pro does that analyzing and shoots the two photos. If you do move, it's actually kind of interesting. You can get some really crazy effects. So if you move right in between picture one and picture two, like maybe turn to a solid area and then turn back to a scene, you can get some really wacky effects. But for now, all I wanted to do was try to get detail in the highlights and the shadows of the scene. Now, once I have the preview that you see here, I have some sliders at the bottom of HDR Pro. You're welcome to use these. I often just leave them where they are and then adjust my photo later in another application like Snapseed that has more flexibility. But if you want, you know, you can do things like maybe increase the brightness or increase the saturation and so forth. You also have options here for cropping the photo, adding some filters that come with HDR Pro, even adding some frames and text. Let's go ahead and add a frame just to show you. I'll go with something kind of simple. Let's go with this black one. And if you want, if you tap text, you can even type text on the photo. I'm going to go ahead and at this point, I would click save. Now, this is something a lot of people forget to do. They forget to save. They just click done. And if you do click done before save, let me show you what happens. You get this message and it says, you haven't saved your picture. Do you want to continue anyway? If you say okay, you will lose everything you have here in HDR Pro. So I'm going to cancel out of here. And then I'm going to save. And by the way, I apologize. I see that I have a little bit at the top right that I should have cropped away. But just for purposes of this little tutorial, we'll leave it there. So I'm going to go ahead now and choose save. And then done. And that takes me back to the main screen of HDR Pro. And I'm ready to take another photo. So that's a look at HDR Pro. I really like it. Sean, what about you? Do you use this?
Yeah, you know, what I do a lot is just a quick tip. It doesn't require any sort of a screen sharing demo. A lot of times I want to take my HDR pictures, the exposures, and kind of move along because, you know, I'm too busy to actually do the processing right then and there. So I use an app called Bracket Mode. And all Bracket Mode does is let you take two pictures, you know, one for the highlights, one for the shadows. You can have it set to auto to where you know, it chooses the brightest point and the darkest point in the scene, or you can manually choose those. And, you know, again, you hold the camera really steady. It takes two pictures and just saves them to your camera roll. And then I'll use Pro HDR later to bring those pictures in and merge them together.
That's a very good idea. I didn't show that aspect of Pro HDR, but you can take multiple pictures from your camera roll and merge them together the same way as kind of as when you're doing it on the scene. In the older version of HDR Pro, you used to have to choose the dark part and the light part yourself. And now it appears you just tap the screen and it does that for you. And that kind of that makes things easier when you're trying to hand hold because you only have to hit the screen once. I really like that. And the other last thing about it is I often will further manipulate my HDR Pro images in another app. I really don't use those sliders that I showed you too much. I like to just get the photo, as Sean said, and then maybe take it into Snapseed or somewhere else and do my processing there.
Yes, the fine art of app stacking different apps on top of each other, or the effect of different apps on top of each other.
It's true. So, Sean, do you have one more for us?
Okay, I'm going to go into my compositing collection here that I created earlier, and I'm going to choose Juxtaposer. And
what is that?
Well, I'll show you that in a second here. That's actually one of the beauties of Juxtaposer, is that in Juxtaposer, when it first opens up, in fact, let me actually just cancel it here. Let me just quit the app, and then we'll go back into it so we can, there it is starting up. Okay, so there he comes up. This is a friend of mine. This was taken in Iceland in March when we were there doing a winter landscapes and auroras workshop. But the beauty of this is that with Juxtaposer, you can save sessions. So you see here at the top, I can either start a new session or I can load a save session. And if I go here, it actually has previous sessions. So you can see that this one here of the wedding dresses above the waterfall, that was saved back in May. This other one was saved in March. And the nice thing about that is that I can get in here and it's still all flexible. It's still a layer there. I can, unerase here to bring back the part of the image there. So it's all flexible and it saves it within the app. So that's one thing you cannot do with Image Blender is actually save your layered version as a session that you can then revisit later on.
Cool.
So let me actually get out of there. Let me just do one other. Well, actually, let's just start a new session so you can see what that looks like. Again, we've got the top image in the background. I'm going to choose the background. And I'll come here to my albums. All right, so then I'm going to go get another image. And I'm going to go back to the last album. And find this one thing here. And then I'll choose done. And I'm not going to save those changes that I made to that last image. So you have the top layer, and I can move that and change it just by pinching and swiping like I did with an Image Blender. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the slider button up here on the top, tap that, and that gives me access to a lot of obvious controls here, opacity, brightness, contrast, saturation, etc. The usual suspects in terms of image adjustment controls. But there's also a blend mode here. So if I tap on blending mode, I can choose from different blend modes. Now, you don't get a preview of what it looks like here, but you can still, if you know what they do, you can find the blend mode that you want. I'm going to choose the blend mode screen, which is going to emphasize the lighter areas. And then that's all I'm going to do with this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tap on that slider button to make that go away. And now I can make this light bigger if I want to. I can adjust the opacity. And you do have masking controls in here. And those are down here at the bottom. You can see where it says erase and unerase. So I can grab this and erase. Now, if you notice up in the upper left, there is a feature that's similar to the offset feature that we saw on Image Blender. It just behaves a little bit differently. It just kind of gives you a more close-up view of what's happening there. And if I tap on the brush icon, I can choose either a hard edge brush, which is what I had there, a soft edge brush, or a brush that is at 50% opacity. So that's what those other two brushes are that look where you can see the checkerboard pattern. One thing I wish that this app would have was the ability to actually specify an opacity for the brush. Right now, you just have basically full strength, 100%, or half strength. However, you can get quite a lot done with the half strength button. So I'm going to actually bring back that thing there, and then I'll go back and I'll choose the half strength, and I'll choose erase, and now I can start to erase this. And you can get pretty good at working with this to make it look, pretty decent. So just a quick and dirty demo of that, because I know we're running a little bit long. But what I really like about Juxtaposer is just a lot more control in terms of the brush, in terms of masking it, much better overall image adjustment controls. The ones in Image Blender are really nothing to write home about. I never use them. And then the big thing in Juxtaposer is the ability to save your session so that you can get to it again. Let's say you're working on a more intricate composite and you just want to, take a break and work on it again tomorrow or 2 days later. You can do that really easily with Juxtaposer.
So Sean, is there any reason to really use Image Blender? Does it offer something Juxtaposer does not?
The interface is a lot simpler, I guess. That's probably the main thing. And for a lot of people, that's a pretty key thing because, I have a lot of iPhone apps that are incredibly complex in terms of what they offer and what their interfaces are like. And sometimes my mindset is such that I don't necessarily want an overly complex interface on the phone. I want it to be simple. I want it to be easy. So not that Juxtaposer is complex in any way. It's pretty elegant. I'd say if you are new to making composites on the smartphone, maybe start out with Image Blender, and then you can graduate to Juxtaposer, and then, you know, there's, you know, even more after that.
Great advice. Do you want to unshare your screen and come back to us?
I will come back.
And while you're doing that, I just want to say that that is just a taste of what's available to you in iPhone apps. And don't be afraid. You know, go out there and try things. I always tell my friends, you can't break anything. And even though you may be an expert with Snapseed or one of the other apps that you use all the time, I think you're really doing a disservice to yourself to not explore what else is available. Some of them don't stay around long. Some do, some are free, some cost a few dollars, but there really are so many options for you to experiment with. So, Sean, do you have any parting words for us about your favorite iPhone apps?
Well, just in terms of the cost, the apps that I showed on this broadcast were, you know, Diptic is 99 cents, and Image Blender and Juxtaposer are both, I think, $2.99. So they're not expensive at all. And then, you know, a lot of people, I'm kind of known a lot for the compositing that I do in Photoshop, and I've, you know, co-authored a book on masking compositing with Katrine Eisman and James Porto. And so a lot of people know me for, you know, what my compositing work I do in Photoshop, and they'll ask me, well, you know, if you have all that control and you can do everything in Photoshop, why would you even think of making a composite on your iPhone? And the simple answer to that is because I can. Because it's a different type of compositing. It's a different way to exercise my creativity, whether I'm stuck in an airport, you know, with an overdue flight, or just, you know, waiting around somewhere or hanging out and wanting to play with a composite. It just is a different way to engage with your creativity. And the more ways you can find to engage with your creativity, I think the happier you'll be.
I agree with you. And I think you all should try these tips and tricks out because you can.
Because you can.
So that's another episode of The Fix. Thanks for joining us. This has been one of our new formats, The Riff. And if you like this, let us know in the comments. We'll continue to bring you more episodes in this format. Thanks a lot, everyone. Good night.
Good night, everybody.